Let's turn now to a broader discussion of how China's growing economic power and its other interests may have, in the view of some China watchers, trumped human rights. Here's NPR's Frank Langfitt.
China's influence with the United States has been increasing throughout this decade, but this year it gained a lot of ground. The United States sparked a global recession, and China, thanks in part to huge government stimulus spending, is helping to lead the way out. Nick Lardy is a senior fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics, a Washington think tank. Lardy says the U.S. is reluctant to irritate China these days.
I think in the midst of an economic crisis, the administration's kind of bending over backwards.
Bending over backwards, Lardy says, to ensure cooperation on big issues, including boosting the world economy, addressing climate change, and dealing with North Korea.
I think postponing the direct visit between the president and the Dalai Lama is, if this helps a little bit in that regard, I guess that's the calculation in the White House.
Human rights has always been downplayed for these larger interests.
That's James Mann. He works at the Johns Hopkins School of Advanced International Studies, and he wrote About Face, a history of China-U.S. relations. When President Nixon went to China in 1972, Mann says it had nothing to do with economics. It was about countering the Soviet Union. Human rights became an issue in the summer of 1989, when the Communist Party unleashed tanks on student demonstrators.
There were a couple of years after the Tiananmen crackdown, when human rights were a more significant element of American policy, but they didn't last long.
A key reason, in 1992, Chinese leaders began to fully embrace capitalist-style reforms. Foreign money and American business started to pour in.
Picking up in the late 90s and in this decade, the amount of foreign investment in China and the amount of trade between the United States and China has just skyrocketed.
China used the money it gained from a giant trade surplus to buy U.S. debt and, in recent years, became America's banker. Again, James Mann.
The result of that has been enormous economic leverage in dealing with the United States.
We still have a larger economy than China, so I don't think we should be in the position of quaking at the prospect of raising difficult issues with them.
Mary Beth Markey works for the International Campaign for Tibet, which focuses on human rights there. She says as China joined the world economy, pressing the campaign's agenda became harder. Before 2001, Congress had to vote on trade relations with China each year. Markey and others used the vote to highlight China's human rights record and force Congress, in essence, to vote on it. But when China joined the World Trade Organization, that forum disappeared.
When that annual vote went away, then Congress need not pay as much attention.
That means Markey and other human rights advocates have less leverage.
You can work as hard as you want, and you can bring an army, and you can bring the media, and you can bring, the Speaker of the House to the table. But in the end, the decisions are made by a very small group in the White House, I think.
As economic ties between China and the U.S. continue to deepen, making the case for human rights won't get any easier. Frank Langfitt, NPR News, Washington.